SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world. Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 9th of February 2026, a day where the Australian share market surged, the S&P ASX 200 up 1.9% to 8,870, the best one-day gain since the Liberation Day tariffs back in April 2025, but it does follow a 2% fall on Friday, the last session. Today, though, all 11 sectors on the index finished higher. Information technology, property and materials all performing best. The top performing stock today was Web Travel, up by 18%. It did, though, have a shocker on Friday. Challenger Financial, the worst performer today, down by 3.5%. It's made a takeover play for Pepper Money. Shares in that company surging today. Across the market, though, we did see some gains across the board. Those technology stocks driven higher by WiseTech, up by 3.6%. Technology One, 3.5% higher. Those data centers also doing well today. NextDC rallying 4.9%. Goodman 6.5% stronger. And tech stocks, as I mentioned, doing well, along with the miners. Newmont soaring 6.5%. That's as we saw a rebound in the gold price. BHP up by 1.9%. Another good performer today as reporting season kicked off, Car Group. They're the team that own the carsales.com.au website. Shares up by almost 10%. Investors liking its profit results and what it had to say about AI investment. And to tell us more about the day's market action, including what he'll be looking out for in reporting season, including what companies are doing with AI, I spoke with George Baburis. He's the head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, so the ASX loses around $65 billion on Friday. Today, it recoups a lot of that. What's behind these huge moves up one day, down the next? And what does it say about investor sentiment?
Yeah. Hi, Ricardo. Good question. And what happened on Friday night and the recovery today, that amplified volatility, we should be more frequently exhibited over the course of 2026. So that's the norm. Lots of pockets of volatility. So what's happening is some unwinding of certain asset classes, some unwinding and some reactions at the headline level. And then at the end of the day, when people are looking through it, they're looking, are there any changes to economic activity one year forward? Are there any notable changes to the earnings landscape? And are there any changes ahead to key policy? And in reality, there's not. It's just there's different variations of price expectations. But volatility, as we saw on Friday night and as we're seeing the recovery today, should be anticipated more frequently in 2026. And for another headline, for those out there, the midterms in the US anticipate more colour, more headlines, more theatre, more noise. But at the end of the day, the volatility is second guessing, is there a change to the underlying objective data and earnings? And do we react to it? And that's where we're going to see more frequent events of what happened in the last 48 hours.
Speaking of huge moves, investors in Japan are rejoicing following Takeuchi's election win with the Nikkei at a fresh record high. I think it's up around 50% over the past year. Any thoughts about what this means for investors?
Yeah, so the Takeuchi trade has continued. Very bold move to go to the election, and obviously with the massive majority, has the ability to create some predictability once market adjusts. And that is the following: more targeted spend on certain AI that will benefit earnings in the Nikkei, the protection further of the car industry at all levels, which is obviously supportive for Nikkei earnings as well. And obviously, it's a theme throughout all developed economies, and that is governments who want to do targeted fiscal spend, but at the same time want to influence where they can their respective central banks, in this case, the Bank of Japan, they don't want to see the higher rate environment. So that targeted fiscal spend has to be uniquely done. So there's a many moving parts in there, but it's very much pro-spend, pro-defense as well, pro-AI, and that's to the beneficiary of future earnings. And again, the predictability to have the control of Parliament means I can get the policies through, and markets will get through this, the weakness in the yen in the short term, but then there's some strengthening of the yen in the second half of the year. But good for Japanese earnings versus where we were this time last week.
You mentioned AI. Can we spend a bit of time talking about artificial intelligence? How do you feel about this AI overinvestment that some people are fearing, that financial rewards may be limited or delayed given all these high levels of investments, the impact on software services, which have seen their shares smashed lately? These fears, are they real or do you think they're overblown?
A combination. They are real. And they are overblown, some of the reactions with the stock prices, with some of them down 30-40% over the week, on the specific sectors within technology. But let's just take it from the a granular level. AI, the contribution. So what's happening in the United States? There is an investment, and yes, it can be an overinvestment that can be clawed back and leveled out in 3-5 years. But that AI contribution means the following: that you get a productivity gain. So accelerating GDP with a productivity gain implies there's no inflationary aspects of it. And that is verified in the US as an example in what we call the break evens for 3-5 year bonds and even out to the 10 years. That's the verification. Now that's the opposite very quickly in Australia. We got no productivity gains, accelerating GDP equals inflation. So let's just go back to the AI. There is an overinvestment in the short term that will play itself out, but there is a contribution that we believe will be around 15 to 20% of the earnings upside for this year is coming from productivity gains of AI. And that in itself, if it comes in at 15%, that's a downgrade. If it comes in just above 20% contribution, it's an upgrade. But there's a lot of money going into it, coming through on the cash flows and verified in the earnings. But again, that's how you look at it, is that overinvestment, yes. Where do we land? We don't know, but it is pro-GDP and it's good because it's disinflationary, all things being equal. Hopefully that was a succinct way of summarising a very big topic.
It's interesting you say that because Car Group, the car sales team, one of the first to come out with profit results today. I saw in its release it spent a bit of time talking about how it's using AI and its investments. In its media call or analyst call, it did something to the effect of there have been some incremental positive benefits in terms of some of the AI products it already has. So surely this will be a key theme for reporting season, right? How Australian companies that are reporting in the next couple of weeks, how they're investing in AI, but more importantly, the kinds of returns that they're starting to see, especially with CommBank earlier this week. Would you agree?
Exactly, totally. So in Australia, that from an economy point of view, we haven't got the productivity gains from the national accounts level. But here we are in the earnings period. Let's just look at company by company. Anyone who can adopt, and remember, AI can be replicated, financial services, of course, transport, health, whatever it may be, it's very transferable to many sectors of the economy. And as you say, with regards to automobiles and whatever it may be, or any form of transport, but any ability to deliver some sizable upside because of the costs are so high in the Australian market, similar to the UK market and parts of Canada, we have a challenge on labour market and lack of productivity gains. So these small pockets of upside in the earnings environment that are verifiable is a share price upward. And obviously those who are going to miss, even if it's 1%, 2%, it's going to be very unforgiving for their share price in this reporting season. But any AI that's adopted that is objectively verifiable, that can bring some profitability going forward, is obviously a very big positive in this local market.
So apart from AI, when you're looking at these profit results coming up, any other themes that you're expected to see?
Cost. We just need to see the cost, because with the headwinds in 2025 in Australia was high costs, and we all know why there's high costs, because the RBA are raising rates and they've got that cost pressure coming through. So we understand that. Big business understands it. Export sector, a little bit different. Commodities, metals, etc., energy. That's the export sector. As the economists will say, export minus imports, that's a big contributor, but that's not impacted as much. But definitely the cost, particularly on the domestic demand side, very, very difficult. But we're looking very much at the financial services sector on what their intentions are on costs going forward, cybersecurity, labour and labour costs, etc., and also the spend per person, and any incremental change on bad and doubtful debts. We don't think that will come through, but just to see if there's any stress in corporate Australia or any stress at the household level, we don't think it's there. It's just at the margin.
And so finally, at the beginning of the interview, you were saying how investors should expect continued volatility given we saw this huge fall last week on Friday, another huge rise today. So what are you telling your clients right now, and are there still any opportunities for investors?
Yes, the opportunities for investors that we talk to across all the asset classes are, we like developed market equity still, Nikkei, North America, Europe. Europe, they're cheaper than North America because obviously their earnings are not growing as much, but there's that re-rating story to continue in that sort of thematic. But Europe is suffering from the export sector from China doing so well in that local market. And financial services. We still like financial services, particularly the majors globally. So that's where we're looking at it at the moment. And also volatility is the norm. Lots of currency volatility is the norm. Aussie dollar to appreciate. So going into our winter, Northern Hemisphere summer, you can prepay now, but it'd be good rates in the next 2-3 months to book that accommodation in Mykonos or in Madrid or wherever you want to go, and good rates and good spending power, purchasing power for Australians over the course of the next 3 to 6 months.
It's George Baburis there from K2 Asset Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. SBS's award-winning podcast, Fallout: Spies on Norfolk Island, has just been named one of Apple's best of 2025. See why, as journalist Richard Baker uncovers the truth behind an extraordinary international spy story. In 1985, Greenpeace's Rainbow Warrior was bombed in Auckland Harbour. Richard follows the trail from the Pacific to Paris to uncover what really happened. Listen to Fallout: Spies on Norfolk Island on the SBS audio app or wherever you get your podcasts.